shir is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Achsa Bas Rev Meir. Parashat Shemini, in my opinion, four major events take place in Parashat Shemini. I'd like to talk about some of them, but if you had to look at an overall Parashat Shemini, I would categorize it by four major events that happens. The first beginning of the parasha is the Chanukas HaMizbeach, the Chanukas HaMishkan. This is when they started to use the Mishkan. The Mishkan was finally ready to be put up and used. The second major event is Misas B'nei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu pass in this week's parasha. The third major chapter of this week's parasha is a whole list of things and animals one can and cannot eat. This is one of the times where people talk about a sugya, which we've done here before, the sugya of turkey. Whether or not turkey is permissible to be eaten as usually comes up in this week's parasha. Because in this week's parasha is where the Torah lays out the birds that one can eat and the animals that one can eat. So Macholos Asuras comes up in this week's parasha. And really the last part of the parasha, towards the end of the parasha, where the Torah discusses a concept of Kedusha. Kedushas Yisrael. A specific detailed rules of what Jews can and cannot do. A lot of it involves what Jews can and cannot eat, what they can and cannot touch, but a specific emphasis on what I call Kedushas Yisrael. That's my category of the end of the parasha. The Torah focuses on restrictions that only Jews have that other people of the world don't have because we have a certain Kedusha. Usually when we do a parasha, we start from the beginning of the parasha. This week I want to try going to the end of the parasha. Hopefully get to the beginning of the parasha as well. But I'd like to touch upon some interesting things at the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, the Torah has a line over here where it tells us that lahavdil ben atameh ben atar, you have to separate between that is tameh and that is tar. The Gemara in Shavuos Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis brings down an unbelievable statement. The Gemara says that if anyone is zohir to make havdalah over yayin, he will merit to have boys. It's a segula, it's a Gemara. Gemara says in Shavuos Yud Ches Amud Beis, if a person is makbet to make havdalah al yayin, his reward will be to have sons. How do you know it? Because it says over here, lahavdil ben atameh ben atahar. We know it's lahavdil ben kodesh lechol. It says at the beginning of Parshas Tazria, isha ki sazria, the older zacha. So this is a Gemara in Shavuos Yud Ches. Now, to be honest, if you go through that Gemara in Shavuos Yud Ches, it has a whole bunch of other things that are schoolers for having baby boys. But this is one of them. The Gemara says, because of the last pasuk in our parsha is right next to Kisas. If a person wants to have a schooler for baby boys, what he should do is, he should be makbid on Yayin by Havdal. So says the Gemara. There's another line that the Chafetz Chaim was once at a Knesiyah, a big gathering, and he got up and he spoke and he asked a question. It's not his chiddush, I think he quoted it from earlier. Why exactly? The end of Parashat Shemini discusses those foods, those animals that you can eat and those animals that you can't eat. And the beginning of Parashat Tazria talks about the Mitzayra. And we know the Mitzayra comes from Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim asked the question. It wasn't his, I think it came from earlier. He said, what's the connection between the two parashas? So the Chafetz Chaim said, the Torah is teaching us a very valuable lesson. The same way we're all so careful what goes into our mouth, none of us would think about eating food that doesn't have 25 hashkachas on it. Says the Chafetz Chaim, likewise, we have to be as careful as what goes out of our mouth. Just like Shemini talks about what you can and cannot eat, Tazria talks about Lashon Hara, says the Chafetz Chaim, you have to be as careful as what goes into your mouth as you are what comes out of your mouth. So Reb Chaim Oizer got up right after the Chafetz Chaim and said, Mechilas Kvod Rebbe, I have to make a rebuttal. He said, I have to disagree with the Rebbe. So everyone said, why? He said, because what's going to happen now is the same way no one's makbid on Lashon Hara, no one's going to be makbid on Machalos Asuris. That was Reb Chaim Moshe's rebuttal to the Chafetz Chaim's comment. Because in our mind, everyone knows that Machalos Asuris we wouldn't think about. The end of Parashat Shemini. All the birds you can eat, and you can eat, and this you could. Everyone's makbid. But says the Chafetz Chaim, but when it comes to the beginning of Parashat Tazria, that people are not so makbid on. But that's the smichos of the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, which discusses these things, is connected to the beginning of Parashat Tazria. There's a pasuk again at the end of the parasha. We're working our way back. At the end of the parasha, the Torah writes the following statement. Says the Torah, when you want to become a Kaddish, it says, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Mem Daled, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God, Vizkadishtem Vihisem Kedoshim. So the Meshech Chachma says a beautiful pshat. He says, Vizkadishtem means if you try, and you show that you want to be a Kaddish, then Vihisem Kedoshim, you will be Kaddish, because I'm going to help you. We have a term that if a person tries a Kaddish, Baruch Hu helps. So if a person says, I want to try to be a Kaddish, I want to be Pirish from things that I shouldn't be, then a Kaddish Baruch Hu will help you. This Kaddish then, if you try and you really work on becoming Kaddish, V'yisem Kaddishim, then you will become Kaddish. So learns the Meshech Chachma. Rashi quotes Gemara in Bava Metzia. Unbelievable Gemara, especially coming off of the Yom Tov of Pesach. Rashi quotes Rashi in Chumash brings a Gemara in Bamitzia Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. The end of the parsha. Listen to the words of this Rashi. Zog Rashi, when it says in the Torah, it says, "Ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Hamal Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. I am the one who took you out of Mitzrayim, Liyestachem Lelekim. I'm your God, so you gotta be Kaddish." Says Rashi, he writes over here, "Tana de Beri Bishma." It was learned in the Beis Medrash of Yishmael. Il moli lo halesi es Yisrael mi Mitzrayim ela b'shvil she'im etamim b'shratzim. If the only reason why the Jews left Mitzrayim was to do one thing, so they no longer eat the same creepy crawly food that the Goyim eat. Says the Medrash, it's Gemara, kabayu, it would have been worth it. Dayom. It would have been worth the whole thing. The whole Yitzis Mitzrayim, forget the Torah, forget mitzvahs, forget it all. One thing. We left Mitzrayim and we no longer will eat crab and we no longer will eat not kosher fish. Kedai the whole thing. Unbelievable Gemara. Gemara Bamitzi. So Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer points out, he says it's a little interesting. He says if you ask most Jews today why we don't eat those foods, it's because it doesn't really entice us so much. Very rarely do you hear people saying, I have a big type, I want to eat the crab or those shrimp that I see. It doesn't. A cheeseburger is one thing, that already looks enticing. Domino's pizza, okay, I hear. But you know, the shrimp, these things, the lobsters, it never really enticed us very much. So if Moshe says, so then what's the big deal? If the reason why we're not eating because it doesn't look enticing, so what's the great schar? So if Moshe says, Eina chanami, you're right. But he thinks it's a shaloi lishma type of situation. I mean, Moshe believes that initially, but today it's already passed down generations, we don't eat these things. This is not Jewish machl. I'd like to add on to what Moshe, I think, means is that we know that this is a line that we don't cross. From Yidden, Jewish people don't eat, those that are Shem Yitzhar Mitzvahs will not say, oh, I wish I could have these things. It's a big fence that separates us from the Goyim, which is really what Rashi says. We want to be different than them. So this is a line of demarcation of, this is not something we're going to do. We're not going to go to lobster. We're not going to eat where you eat, because this is our point of, no, we don't cross that line. Although maybe the reason why we don't cross is because we're repulsed by it, but the reason why we're repulsed by it, says Rav Moshe, is because we were always trained by our parents. We're not allowed to eat it. He thinks one really came from the other. So therefore, says, unbelievable, after we finished talking about the Yom Tov of Pesach, it's Mitzrayim, all the great things that happened, says Rashi, quoting a Gemara, that the whole thing was Kedai just so Klal Yisrael would not eat these types of macholos, which we probably wouldn't have eaten anyways, because it separates us from the God. That's a little bit the end of the parsha. So let's go back to the beginning of the parsha. The beginning of parsha Shmini takes us to an event in history, an unbelievable event in history. Beginning of Parsha Shmini is discussing Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, was the eighth day. The eighth day of what? So the truth is that Ibn Ezra has a big pshat, a big chiddush. He learns Bayom HaShmini means the eighth day of Nisan. It's not the way most of us assume. It's not the way most Rishonim learn. Not the way Rashi learns. Vayhi Bayom HaShmini means it was the eighth day of the Zayin Yemei HaMiluyim. The 7 days before this, they were putting up the Mishkan, taking it down, putting it up, taking it down, which is why many shuls don't say Tachor in the last week of Adar. And then when it came the eighth day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this was the day where we're ready to move to the next phase and have the Mishkan be up permanently and have a Mokim for Ashur HaSashchem. That's what was supposed to take place, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. Points out the Medrash, then the parshiyos of the Torah are very out of order. If I was writing the Chumash, so it shouldn't be Vayikra Tzav Shmini, it should be Shmini first. Why? Because all the Kabbanis that were brought in parshiyos of Vayikra only happened after we had Parsha Shmini. After we set up a Mishkan, and after we were in business, then we started to bring Kabbanis, and there's a Chatos, and a Noyla, and a Shlomim. But Parsha Shmini is the first thing. Before we even started bringing Kabbanis, you had to have first had a Shmini, where we inaugurated it, and we went, opened the Mishkan, and business was starting. So the Medrash says, "Einachanami, you're right. Taka should go that way." But he has a line: "A muktim a mucha b'Torah." There's not always a perfect science of order in the Torah. Parshas Vayikra goes before Parshas Shmini. What's more so is that this was an extremely joyous time in Jewish history. At the time of this parsha, Parshas Shmini, Ches Nisan, Aleph Nisan, the second year after Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, was an extremely joyous day. Klal Yisrael was so happy. Why was Klal Yisrael so happy? Because they were going to build a Mishkan. Why is the Mishkan such a big deal? Because the Mishkan was the kapara for the Chet Egel. And this weighed very heavily on Klal Yisrael's shoulders, that they always felt that this Chet Egel was going to, you know, be over them. This was going to be the big kapara, because Baruch was going to have a place to rest. This is it. This is what it's all about. This is why we left Mitzrayim. This is why we had Kriyas Yamsa for this event. This was an unbelievable event. But the Gemara tells us that it wasn't just for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so excited, so to say. The Medrash says that this day was a day of joy greater Just like the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That's how happy Hashem was on this day in Jewish history. The same simcha that Hashem had when he created Shemayim V'aretz, he had on Yom HaShemini. So asks the Gemara, if that's the case, then there's a problem. The Gemara writes in Megillah, the word Vayihi always implies something sad. Vayihi b'mei HaShveirosh, it was bad. So Frakti Gemara Megillah, so what's Vayihi b'mei HaShemini? Vayihi is not used correctly. B'yom HaShemini was such a happy day. Why is it Vayihi? Why is it Loshen Tzar? So the Gemara answers, you're right. It was a Tzar. The Tzar happens later on in the parasha with the passing of Nadav Aviv. So it kind of overshadowed, so to say, the whole joyous event because of the tragedy that will happen later on in this week's parasha. And for that reason, I really believe that if we had to label any of the parashas in the Torah, the parasha that deals with tragedy, I believe it's Parasha Shemini. I think Parashat Shemini is the parasha where the Torah tells us, gives us hadracha, gives us guidance in how to deal with Jewish tragedy. Not only how to deal with Jewish tragedy, but how to deal with Jewish tragedy while balancing joyous occasions as well. That's a very difficult balance. Everyone knows like Kol Zman Veis, it's time for this. But what happens when they kind of intermingle? We're talking about a day where everything was so happy, and all of a sudden the day just turns sad. How do we deal with that? How do we manage such an emotion on such a difficult day? More than that, we often read Parashat Shemini, if not always, during the Sfira, during these days of the Avelus over the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So I believe there's a connection between reading this Parsha at a time where we're all having a world, everyone, not just by the time we get to Parashat Shemini, it's almost all communities will be Noyig Avelus, by the time we get to after Rosh Chodesh, all communities are Noyig Avelus. So this is a communal experience of tragedy. Everyone felt, and we're re-feeling and reliving the Meisiv Talmidei Rabbi Akiva every single year, 24,000 great scholars. And the Torah, this parasha, I believe, is the key, so to say, to how to deal with tragedy. It's also, I don't think, it also works out, at least this year, it's right around Yom HaShoah, which is again, we've spoken many times about the politics behind it, the halacha behind it, should you, shouldn't you, but at the end of the day, it's a time where people do reflect upon another Jewish tragedy, where many, many millions of Jews were lost. But this year we have another element to this, a communal tragedy that took place in the Farakwe community, which affected obviously everyone, not just the Farakwe and our five towns, Brooklyn. Everyone was affected in different ways by the tragedy. And I find it that it's at a specific time in the Torah, we get to Parashat Shemini, with it, and the Torah is giving us a guidebook to how to deal with tragedy and how to deal with tragedy at a time of Simcha. Just like this event, it was during Chol HaMoed, a time when one is not allowed to be Noyig Avelus. How do we balance emotions of tragedy with emotions of Simcha? I think that's all really included very much in this week's Parashat, a very, very important Parashat, how to deal with tragedy, both communal and obviously personal tragedy as well. The beginning of the Parashat is something very interesting. In the beginning of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu calls a meeting. Vahi b'yayim HaShemini, it was the eighth day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Kara Moshe li'aroin ulevanov ulezignei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu calls a meeting. Who's he invited to the meeting? Aaron, his children, and the Ziknei Yisrael. If you go on through the Psukim, you read what was the purpose of this meeting. It was to give directions. Aaron, you bring this carbon, Bonov, you bring this carbon, and you read the Psukim and you ask yourself, so why were the Ziknei Yisrael there? They had no jobs. None of the direction that Moshe gave had any impact on the Ziknei Yisrael's life. They don't have any commandments. All these commandments are Aaron and Banov, Karbanas, bring, don't bring, Klal Yisrael, Karbanas. Ziknei Yisrael seemed to just been background noise. Why exactly was Ziknei Yisrael invited to this meeting if they weren't told anything, they weren't given any information or any commands? Why invite them to the meeting? So Rashi bavorns this kasha. Rashi asks, why are they invited? So Rashi says, "Lashmiyom shal pi adibur Aaron nichnas u'mishamish b'kuhuna gedoyla v'lo yomnu me'elav nichnas." Rashi says, we don't want to have anyone saying, oh, nepotism. Yeah, of course Aaron HaKohen became the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was his brother. Nepotism. We don't want any nepotism. We want this Kohen to be the test, to testify that Moshe Rabbeinu was following the words of Hashem. So there's a couple of kashas on this pshat. One kasha which bothered me, and I finally saw that Reb Steinman Zatzal asked this kasha. How does this prove anything? Because Moshe said, this Kenim are standing around, and now what? There was no bas kol from HaShemayim that said anything. They still don't know what's going on. They come to the meeting, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells everyone, okay, Rabbi Yisrael, you should know, Aaron's going to be the Kohen. Okay. So the Ziknei Yisrael don't know any more than they knew before. So I thought, Reb Steinman asked this kasha. It bothered me for a while. What are this Kenim going to know more if they're invited to the meeting? The Sifzei Chachomim and the Kliyakor have a different kasha. They say, we knew this already. In Parashas Tzav, before we started the Zayin Yemei HaMiluim, we did one of these communal events. And again, Rashi says over there, the purpose of this communal event was so everyone should know that Moshe Rabbeinu was not picking Aaron because it's his brother, because this is what Hashem wants. So why are we doing this again? So the Sifrei Chachamim comes up with an interesting answer. He gives two answers. He says, firstly, I would have thought that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Aaron to be a Kohen, but not to be the Kohen Gadol. Here he's getting a new status, big title. He's now becoming Kohen Gadol. Maybe that he needed everyone to see. That's one answer. The Sifrei Chachamim gives another answer, that maybe that was only to work the 7 days. That was a short-term job. 7 days, Aaron Cohen, you can work. Now we're talking going past. Now we're talking on the big day. Who said Aaron has the right to work the big day? So Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to invite this Kenim to show everyone that Moshe Rabbeinu was following orders. The Kliyakar has a whole totally different shot. The Kliyakar learns that this Kenim were there for a job. What's their job? Because the Pasuk says if the entire community does a sin, this Kenim have to do smicha on the animal. So the karbanis that Bnei Yisrael brought was because they all sinned with the Chet Ega. So this Kenim have to put their hands on the animal. So they were there for a reason. They had a job. They were there to do smicha on the animal. Although the psukim never say this, says the Kliyaka, that's why the Zakenim were invited to the meeting. So learns the Kliyaka. There's an Aruch Haim HaKadosh on the parash, on this pasuk. I can't say I understand all of the words of the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, but part of it, I think he writes over here a line, that the reason why he invited the Zakenim, I'll read you the words, you can look it up yourself, the Aruch Haim on this pasuk. He writes, why did he invite the Zakenim? You want to make it a big deal. You make it a big deal. You invite dignitaries, honored members of society. You make it a big deal. To show that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it with complete sincerity. He was anointing his brother because that's what Hashem wanted. Although he's splitting the power, giving over power. He's doing, and I'm showing you, how do I show? Because I make a big deal out of it. If I wasn't so thrilled about it, I wouldn't invite dignitaries to make a party out of it. I would do shashtal in a back room. Says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, the reason why he did it, if I'm the Eder and invited the dignitaries, was because he wanted to show, I'm not embarrassed, and I want this, and I'm happy to do this, and therefore he invited the Ziknei Yisrael. There's a medrash that gets thrown around a lot in this week's parasha, and it's worth mentioning. The medrash says the following words, Omer Reb Akiva, Nimshalu Yisrael Eloif. Kla Yisrael is compared to a bird. What's the comparison, says the Medrash? Uma oif enei pereach b'loi knofov. A bird cannot fly without wings. It's impossible. Kach Yisrael. So to the Jewish people. Ein yecholim lasi shum dovar. We can't do anything but leave the Canaan without our elders. That's the whole Medrash. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, if you look at the words of the Medrash very carefully, it says, Kach Yisrael ein yecholim lasi shum dovar. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, Goyim, they don't need this Canaan. The new generation can run things fine. But Kleisel is a different teva. He says, I'll prove it to you. Every animal is not every animal needs wings to survive. There are plenty of behemoths that don't need wings. Says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, this is not all human beings need leadership. It's the Jewish people. Yisrael, says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. This is a Jewish thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the teva that us, I'm Yisrael, we need this kingdom. Goyim don't need this kingdom. Right, everyone says, oh, the difference between us and them. Let them, they don't need this kingdom. Let them have everyone retire and the new people will take over. They can do whatever they want, says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. We as Jews have a whole different bria. We have a different DNA. In our DNA, we need to have this kingdom. And without this kingdom, writes Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, we will not succeed. And he says even further. He says, then we become worse than the goyim. If we don't use our kingdom properly and speak to them and talk to them, then when we're megareya, we're worse than the goyim. So obviously that would be pshat and why the Zakenim were invited to the event. The Zakenim are here because everything we do is with the Zakenim. When we make big decisions in our life, something as big as the Mishkan, or starting a new stage in our life, of course we want the Zakenim there. We want to involve them because as the Medrash says, we can't go too far without them. But there's another Medrash. The Medrash writes that we know that Aaron HaKohen had to bring a chatos to be mechaper on the Chet HaEgel. Klai Yisrael also brought a korban to be mechaper on the Chet HaEgel. Pasuk says, "Kach lecha egel ben bakar lechatos." You have to bring an egel for the chatos, an ayel lo'ilo. Klai Yisrael brings an egel the keves lo'ilo. And in the middle of the pasuk says, "You should bring a serizim, bring goats." Why are goats involved in this experience? So the Medrash says the goats are to be mechaper mechiras Yosef. Klai Yisrael need to get kapara for the sale of Yosef so many years ago. And since they took the Ksenis Pasim and they dipped it into the blood of a goat to make it look like it was he was killed. So we're going to be mechaber for that with bringing a gedi. So writes the Medrash. So the kasha that everyone asks is why now? What's up is now. Now when we're about to move into our next phase in life in the Mishkan, now we have to relive the Mechira Seisev. We're done with that. Why now? What's the significance of reminding ourselves now that this is the time to do it? So Rabbi Fran writes in one of his Svarim, I think he calls him a Yalkut Yehuda, he says, because we have to remember Mechira Seisev exactly at this point. Why? He says, what caused Mechira Seisev? What caused the whole fight between the brothers? It was jealousy. Pasuk says, Yaakov treated and he loved Yosef more than the other brothers. It creates jealousy, animosity. Says Rabbi Fran, can you imagine what happened on this day in history? Everyone shows up to watch the Kehanim take over control. The Kehanim are dominating all the good jobs. They're getting to run the Beis HaMikdash and all the Yisraelim are sitting in the back row just watching. Can you imagine that would create such animosity? You say to yourself, what's going on over here? You're better than me? Well, because your father was a son of him who's a son of him. Well, I'm just as good as you. It breeds animosity. Therefore, the Torah reminds us, let's remember what happened. Look what happens when we get jealous. We have to realize, and this is the way Rabbi Fran puts it, is that we have different roles. Everyone has a different purpose, different ability, capability. What you can do, I can't do, and it's different roles. It's like the same thing with men and women. It doesn't make one better than the other. We all have different roles. Therefore, says Rabbi Fran beautifully, that's why at this point specifically, we have to relive Mechiras Yosef, not so much for the kapara, but for remembering not to slip again in what happened at the times of Mechiras Yosef. The Meshech Chachma has a little bit more of a lom d'shepshat. The Meshech Chachma says that the whole Mechiras Yosef, the brothers can really have a taina. They could say, They could say to Yosef, why did you tattle to our father? The Pasuk says that he used to bring the bad reports to the father. So they could say, why would you do that? If you think we're not behaving properly, so come give us Musar. Sit us down and say, listen, brothers, I love you, but you're doing X and Y wrong. Why run to my father? Why'd you run and tattle on me? So that's why we were upset at you. Says the Meshech Chachma, now that we had the Chet Egel, what happened to the Chet Egel? Those who tried to rebuke the other ones got killed. Chor, who tried to stand up to those and make a logical argument and say, this is not Torah values, what are you doing? What happened? What did they do to Chor? They killed him. So now, says the Meshech Chachma, now the brother's taina falls away. What were the brothers saying? Yosef, you should have came and spoke to us. Yosef says, well, I'm going to talk to you. You'll kill me. Look what you know, after the story of Chor, says the Meshech Chachma, after we experienced the Chet Egel, now Klai soldiers realize, oh, now we're in trouble. Our whole claim of why we were maybe somewhat less guilty falls to the side. Because now that you see that those that rebuke get killed, so it's not a taina why Yosef didn't come to give Musa. Therefore, says Meshech Chachma, now in history, we have to relive that and be mechaper. I heard a shiur from Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, and I looked it up. He quotes a Pirus Yosef, a beautiful thought from the Pirus Yosef, Yosef Salant, who says that there's a common denominator between Mechiras Yosef and the Chet Egel. And that's why now specifically we're going to be mechaper on the same Averi together. What's the common denominator? He says by the Chet Egel, he calls Midrash, he calls it a Kuzari. Chet Egel, the initial plan was not to create a god. That was not their intention. Their intention was to create a middleman like a Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the plan. Things got a little out of control. And things kind of spiraled out, and it ended up being a god. What was the mistake that the people made at that time? He says, the Pasuk said that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, I'm going, and I'm leaving Aaron and Hur in my place. And if there's an issue, talk to them. So what did the Bnei Yisrael do? They said, well, we're going to handle things our way. Moshe Rabbeinu is not here. We're going to decide what the next step is. And Moshe Rabbeinu left very clear rules and regulations or guidance what to do. So what was the mistake? The mistake was that Klai Yisrael didn't ask. They decided what they want to do. We decide this is what's right. Same thing with Mechiras Yosef. Rabbi Salvechik has said this also. We mentioned this many times. Rabbi Salvechik learned that the underlying mistake by Mechiras Yosef was not that the brothers were bad, not that they were evil, with the way many people sound try to make the brothers sound. It was, said Rabbi Salvechik, the biggest mistake they made was they didn't ask. They made cheshbonis, and they thought, and they had a bezdin, but ask someone. Why are you going to create something so massive, so big, without asking someone who knows a little bit more educated, more experienced? Ask them. Therefore, says the Pirus Yosef, that was the mistake over here. The mistake over here is these two averes are connected. Chet Egel and the Mechiras Yosef all come from a lack of saying to myself, I need the Zakenim. That was the Zakenim. That's this medrash. Is then we say to ourselves, what do they know? These guys are old. They don't know the new generation. They're not up with the way we work. Says the medrash, that's not the way you have to look at life. When presented with a dilemma where you want to do something very big, obviously the medrash doesn't mean every little decision you have to run about this Canaan, but major, massive decisions that are very different than normal, regular day decisions, says the medrash, you have to know who to ask. Right? It's always amazed me that up till the end of Rabbi Yashav's life, he was way over 100 years old. People were constantly coming to him with massive shayles, and he was passing them. You tell that to non-Jewish people, you have a complicated medical case, you're going to bring it to a 100-year-old doctor. They don't want to go near a 100-year-old doctor. His hand's shaky, he's not with it, he doesn't know what's going on. I don't want to trust him. But we have this medrash. The medrash tells us we need our zakenim. They play an integral role. They're there to guide us when we don't know what to do. Because they've been around and they saw more. There's even like this a gemara. There's a gemara in Kedushin that has a havamina, that is a mitzvah to stand up for a zakein who's not a Talmud Chacham, maybe even a goy. So Rishonim said, why would I stand up for a goyisha, a zakein? The answer is because of his experience. He saw a lot of things. He saw nisim and aflois that a Kadosh Baruch Hu did that I never saw, just because he's been around longer. The value of experience is what the Torah is telling us, and that was the mistake that they made twice. That was the mistake by Mechiras Yosef, and that was the mistake by the Chateiko. It came from a lack of appreciation that when you want to make major, massive decisions, ask someone. Everyone thinks they know everything, but there are people who know more. There are people that know more and have seen things and they understand how the world works, and therefore it's really a beautiful connection to this Medrash. It's why the Medrash says, and right over here in this week's parasha, Vayi Bayom HaShmini, it's important for us to remember the godless of the Zakenim, to use it and to appreciate what does it mean to have people you can turn to for guidance. It's a very valued lesson that, again, is lost on today's world. And today's world, the younger, the better. Right? The younger people know more, they're smarter, they're quicker on the computer, so we'd rather have them than someone who's older. It's not what the Torah says, at least not for Jewish people. Maybe that's like that for the non-Jews, as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz pointed out. For us, B'nai Yisrael, we have to follow the Medrash. The Medrash tells us we need them. We can't get too far. We can't fly. We can't soar. We can't go anywhere major, any big deals. We need our zakid. But what's interesting, as Reb Moshe Feinstein points out in his Sefer on Chumash, we know by the Karban Pesach, we had 4 days to prep for this Karban. Yet when it comes to these Karbanos, there's no prep. Right now and there. Moshe says, go get the Karbanos, and everyone grabs the Karban and brings him. What happened to prep? 4 days, Bikur Amum. Supposed to check the animal, make sure it has no mumin, prepare the animal. Also now, everything's in one quick. What happened? So Reb Moshe says, no, that Reb Moshe writes that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure that we jump from one mitzvah to another mitzvah. We just finished a massive, massive building. We just finished the Mishkan, a big event, big mitzvah. Right when you finish one mitzvah, you want to jump to another mitzvah. You don't want to have that hisiris, that excitement that you created from doing one thing. Don't let it sit. If you let it sit, it's not going to get you too far. Keep it going. He writes, that's why we have a minhag that when we finish the Torah, we start again. Keep going. Don't finish. You don't say, I'm finished, I'm done, I'll get to it next week. Keep on going. Keep on rolling. One thing, jump from one mitzvah to another mitzvah. Therefore, he writes with Moshe, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu did not have Bikur HaMumim for 4 days like he would by other karbanos. The Pasuk says that Aaron brought a karban and Bnei Yisrael brought a karban. What was Aaron's kain? Aaron's karban? Kach l'cha egel ben bakar, bring an egel, l'chatos. Use that egel for a karban chatos. Rashi points out, and that's clear, that this is to be Mechaper and Aaron HaKohen's role in the Chet Egel. When it comes to the Bnei Yisrael, it says, tell the Bnei Yisrael, Kechusi Rizim L'chatos. Take the goat for the Chatos, and the Egel, that's for the Oilo. So the Kliyakar asks, why by Aaron was his Egel a Chatos, and by Bnei Yisrael, their Egel is an Oilo? Shouldn't they both be the same? So the Kliyakar says, no. Because they did different sins or different involvement in the Chet Egel. Klal Yisrael's sin was intent. They wanted to create something that they shouldn't have. We know the carbon oil is brought when you have a bad machshava. So they needed to bring an oil. But Aaron had the purest of intention. So what does he bring? He brings a chatas. What's a chatas? A chatas is when you do an act that's bad. The act is the act. You can't change it. So therefore Aaron brought a chatas. But Bnei Yisrael, who had intent to do evil, they bring an oil. That's why Bnei Yisrael is an oilo, and Aaron is a chata. So writes the Kliyakar such a pshat. Pasuk tells us that Aaron HaKohen has a job to bring these karbonas. It says in the Pasuk that Vayomer Moshe el Aaron kral mizbech. Moshe tells Aaron, get close to mizbech. Vaaseh es chatos chaves alosecha. And do your job. I gave you a job. I told you your job is to bring karbonas. Go do it. So why did he need this extra push? Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a commandment in the beginning of the parasha, go do it. Why does he have to reinforce it? So Rashi says, Shaya Aaron Bush. Aaron was embarrassed. The Yari Legeshes. He was nervous to go up to the Mizbech. Omar Loi Moshe. Moshe tells him, Lama Ata Bush. Why are you so embarrassed? Likach Nifcharto. This is why you were chosen. Very difficult medrash to understand. There's another medrash that says it was more than that. It was that when Aaron looked at the Mizbeach, he saw a picture of an eagle. A flashback as an eagle. So he got very nervous. He said, how can I had something to do with this. How can I come and then bring the kapara? So what was the answer? The answer is lekach nefcharta. So many different pshatim had to learn this Rashi. Reb Elyu Baruch Finkel has a pshat that the godless of Aaron was his busha. The fact that Aaron felt a little bit of embarrassment, not that I'm a balabas, I belong here, I deserve to be here, that's his godless. Meaning, lekach nefcharta. The reason why you were chosen is because of your great level of busha. Because you feel a certain level of, I don't belong here. Who am I? He says over about Reb Nochum Partovich, the great Reb Nochum. We speak about him in the Sunday morning share. Great, great Godel. He was the son-in-law of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. He said when he used to say shir in front of Reb Shach, he trembled. He was so nervous. So after he said his shir, so someone asked, Reb Shach asked, he said, what was he so nervous about? He gave a great shir. So he said, that's why he gave a great shir, because he trembled, because he was nervous. He was talking amongst other great people, and he felt the level, like, who am I? I don't have the right to just open my mouth and say things freely. So says Reb Elyu Baruch Finkel, that's the godless of Aaron. Aaron felt that. He didn't think, I'm a balabas, I belong here. I'm destined for this job. This is my, I fit here perfectly. No, a little bit of a busha. Maybe I don't belong here, maybe it's not my place. And that, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, that's exactly why you were chosen. That's why you're the man for the job, because that's the way you feel. Rabbi Fran learns a slightly different shot. He quotes a medrash, that the medrash says that Aaron HaKohen, at the time of the Chet Egel, made a calculation. He said to himself that if Bnei Yisrael builds the Egel, so then the Egel will always be attributed to them. I'm going to build the Egel, and put the Egel on my shoulders. This way, if it's going to be attributed to Bnei Yisrael, they'll forever, forever be labeled, the people who built the Egel, it's going to be over their head. Put it on my shoulders. Says Mesh, that was an unbelievable level of self-sacrifice that Aaron HaKohen did. On that, that's what the pasuk is telling. Lekach nefcharta. Because you were embarrassed, you were worried about Klal Yisrael's pride and their future, that's why you were chosen to be Aaron HaKohen. That's the way Rabbi Fran understands this Rashi. The main event, so to say, in this week's parasha that we need to get to, which to me is probably the hardest part of the whole parasha, is what happens in Perek Yud. What happens over here? The Torah tells us that Klal Yisrael is waiting, anticipating a major event. What is the major event that Klal Yisrael is waiting for? They're waiting to see, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept or not? Because during the Zayin Yimei Amluim, they were waiting to see, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept their, so to say, karbonis or not? And now is the day of decision. Will or won't it go? And the pasuk says it went. And they were so happy. The Kohanim, Aaron was giving a bracha. It was such a happy, joyous feeling amongst the Jewish people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechaper. He loves us. Everything is good. Everything is terrific, says the pasuk. Vayikhu b'nei Aaron nodav aviyu. And the children of Aaron, Nodav, Aviu, each took a machtasoy. They put fire on it. They put k'toris. And they offered in front of Hashem a foreign fire. Hashem loitziva oisam, that they were not commanded. Says the pasuk about teitzi eish b'fnei Hashem. The fire came out. V'tochol oisam, and the fire consumed them. V'yemusu l'fnei Hashem, and they died here in front of Hashem. Now you can just imagine the so to say killjoy that just took place at this event. We're talking about an event as happy as the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Everyone was just so happy. We reached that point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechaper. He accepted the karbanos. The fire came down from Shemayim. It was just such an unbelievably simcha experience. And in an instant, it changes. Pasuk comes, and we all saw, everyone watched. In the middle of nowhere, Nodav Aviyu just are killed in front of our eyes. What a damper of such a joyous occasion, to which we mentioned earlier, is why the Torah writes Vayehi. The Torah writes this whole parasha is Lashon Tzar from this event that happens over here. The Baal HaTurim points out that the word Vatochal Oisam, they were consumed, has an extra Vav. Why the Vav? Says the Baal HaTurim, because there were six Pshatim, or there are six Pshatim, and what Nadav Aviyu did wrong, that they deserve to be killed. And he goes through all of them. First one is, like the Pasuk says, they brought a fire that they had no business bringing, Eish Zara. Second shot is that they were
Moira halacha b'fnei rabbi. They paskin without discussing it with Moshe and Aaron. Third pshat, they drank yayin and came in to do avoid. Fourth pshat, they never got married and they never had children. It's one of the pshat they bring down. Fifth pshat was the Medrash tells us that the Nadav Aviv were walking behind Moshe and Aaron. They were saying to each other, I can't wait till those two pass on. We'll take over the running of Klal Yisrael. The last pshat, the most interesting, is Lo Notlu Eitzes Zu Mizu. They didn't even discuss it with each other. Nadav Aviv didn't even ask each other, should we do it? They each did it independently, and these are the six reasons, and that's why there's an extra vav in the word Isam, to remind us of these six reasons. What's interesting is that the Gemara and Rashi don't bring down six, brings down two. The two that the Gemara brings down is the first one, like the Torah says, Eish Zara Asher Lo Tziva Isam. They put down a foreign fire, and the second one is Shasur Yai. Those are the only two that we have. We don't have the other four. So the Yabar Finkel suggests maybe that the other four do not come along with an Einish of Misa. Person decides not to get married and to have kids, doesn't get killed for it. Person decides that he's not going to, he's going to be married halacha b'fnei rabbi, doesn't get the death penalty. The first two maybe carry the death penalty. Shasu Yain, which the Torah only prohibits later, is prohibited. And the first one of bringing a foreign fight. But he suggests something very interesting. He says, what's the common denominator between all of these six Averis? So the common denominator comes from a little bit of a gaiva. I'm better than someone else. Where? How do you explain it? Age zor means I decided that I want to put a fire down because I decided that this is right. Meira halacha b'fnei rabbi means why don't I need my rabbi? I know more than him. I don't need him. Shasayayin means that although maybe wine is not the right time, but I think I can handle it. I can handle my alcohol. It's not going to affect me. Why didn't he get married? Because he thought he was so great. He couldn't find a girl as good as him. This is the way he says it. So the Yibarach Finkel wants to suggest that all these chesrainis all really rooted in the same place from a slight guide. Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his commentary on the Chumash and Emes Yaakov, he takes issue with all this. He says, why is everyone bashing on Nadav Aviv? They were chashuv people. Very holy people. And we're digging up flaws and character traits that were no good. Why are we doing this? The Torah testifies that they were good people. They were holy people. Why are we like looking and trying to come up with pshatim to, what was wrong with them? So he has some interesting pshatim that a lot of their flaws were not rooted in evil. They're actually rooted in personality. He wants to suggest that the reason why they drink wine was not because they were a bunch of shikurim. They drink wine because they felt that this is an event that requires wine. Right? Wine is a staple at every Jewish event. We have a bris, there's wine, and a chasana, there's wine. These are major parts of our events. So he thought, you make a l'chaim. So he made a l'chaim. What's so bad? He writes that Nadav Aviv had a l'chaim at Kabbalah Sotayr also at Har Sinai. How can you not have a l'chaim at Har Sinai? Come on. You have a l'chaim and everything else, right? Two rebbes get together, they have a l'chaim. How can you not make a l'chaim at Kabbalah Sotayr at Har Sinai? So Yaakov says, we're not necessarily rooted in bad, evil cheshbonis. They weren't because they were bad, sadistic people. This was just they made cheshbonis, which may be not correct. And that, I think, is a very important lesson in this week's parasha. Right after the story, the Torah gives us a prohibition of drinking wine. A kohen is not allowed to drink wine or work in the Beis Hamikdash. That does not mean the Torah is saying that wine is something bad. It can't be. Wine is so integral for Jewish life. Kiddush every Friday night is supposed to be on wine. Every main event, bris has wine, and all simchas have wine. But the Torah is teaching us a lesson that wine has a time and a place. When you're about to go work in the Beis Hamikdash, it's not a good time to be drinking. Not that wine is bad. Moderation. Time. That calls man vase. Everything has a time and a place. The time for drinking wine is not a Kabbalah Sotayr. Although it maybe seems right, but it's not right. But doesn't mean the Torah is saying that alcohol is, that wine, not alcoholism is bad, that wine is a bad thing. It's not bad. It just has to be used at the right time. And that possibly was a mistake that Nadav Aviv made. They took something which is choshev, and they maybe thought it should be expanded and used in other times, which wasn't correct. But Rabbi Yaakov has a lot of issue with understanding why so many people, come up with all these cheshbonis. He thought it's maybe not right, especially if the Torah gave us the reason. Why are we looking for more reasons? It's a kedai to take a look if you have the time at the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar is very bothered by all these pshatim. Where do they get it from the pesukim? Got to be able to read it into the pasuk. So he comes up with all these very interesting pshatim to how they fit into the words of the pasuk. Each pshat that he didn't have children, he didn't do this. How does it fit into the pasuk? So he has all these creative pshatim. I saw once a pshat in the name of the Chassam Sefer. I looked for it over years. I couldn't find it. The Chassam Sefer suggested that the Aveira of not getting married and the Aveira of Moira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi are not really two separate things. They're really one with the other. He says it just shows his lack of dealing with other people. Meaning if he would have been married and learned how to live with another person and appreciate someone else and have a certain interpersonal relationship, then he wouldn't have been Moira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi. A lot of it came from the fact that they didn't have an understanding of how to react or deal with another person, because they never had that type of an intimate relationship. So it's not two separate things. They really wanted the same. So he writes. However, after all the smoke clears, Nadav Aviyu were very great people. To the point that if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the end, right before Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Shulchan Aruch Paskes, that one of the days where you're supposed to have a Tainis, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What happened to Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Comes from Megillas Tainis. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Mesu Bnei Aaron. So clearly, they couldn't have been as bad as people like to make them out to be, because the Torah said, the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's a day for Kviyas Tainis. Rabbi Frank quotes a Magen Avraham. I couldn't find the Magen Avraham. That quotes a Zoya. The Zoya says that if someone cries on the Misa of Nadav Aviyu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moichel Avinosef. He gets a Mechila of all his Avinus. Not only that, he'll have a bracha that he'll never bury any of his children. He'll have a Rechis Yomim, and he'll never have to bury any of his children. So clearly, we're seeing that Nadav Aviyu were not simple people. They were Choshev people. On top of that, Rashi, in Perek Yud, quotes a very, very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, I had a feeling, or I knew, that someone was going to die on this day. I thought it was either me or you. Says Rashi, but now that I see that it was not about you, Shehem Gidoyli Mimeni Umimcha, they're greater than me and you. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's response to his brother. Moshe said, I knew something was going to happen, I had whatever, but I thought it would be me and you. Now I see it was not about you, they're greater than me. So now it's very confusing. We have this Zoya that tells us that if you cry over their Misa, unbelievable things that Kosh Baruch Hu will do for you. We have Rashi telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu said that they're greater than me. What was Taka so great about Nadav Aviyu? What was their godless? So Rabbi Frank quotes from the Panovich Rav that the godless of Nadav Aviyu is that they were the future. They were the next generation. They were going to lead Klal Yisrael into the next phase, moving into Eretz Yisrael. They would have brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Not Yeshua. Nadav Aviyu would have done it. Zog the Panovich Rav, that was the loss. The loss was the future. The next stage of Klal Yisrael was totally lost by the passing of Nadav Aviyu. He writes, that's the same thing with Talmidei Reb Akiva. Many people say this pshat. What was the great loss of Meisa Talmidei Reb Akiva? This was supposed to be the next phase. This was right after Bayis Sheni. It was supposed to be the next phase of the future of Klal Yisrael. That was supposed to be Talmidei Reb Akiva. We lost. We lost an entire step of Klal Yisrael's growth was lost when they all died. That's one of the reasons they say why the Taka died. Was because since they were the ones that were going to continue the Messiah, it had to be completely clear. There couldn't have been any shemets of Haftar Yachar Kamaych. But says the Panovich Rav, that was the big deal. And the Panovich Rav used to say that was the loss that we had by the Holocaust. So much Torah. Forget the bodies, of course. So much Torah was lost. So many svarim, thousands of svarim, kisvei atayra, chidushei atayra, all gone. So much Torah that we lost from those years. It's an amazing thought to think about in 5 or 6 years, not only how many bodies we lost, which we're commemorating now, Yom HaShoah, all the people who lost, but the Torah that was lost. So many chidushei, Menachem Zemba was a great gadol who was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto. We have one little sefer from him called Toitzos Chaim, which every yeshiva that learns Masechet Shabbos learns it like a Rashba. They're medayik and they learn every shtickle piece. It's great stuff. But can you imagine we would have had all those other svarim that he wrote? Reb Baruch Be'er wrote tons of svarim. Reb Baruch Be'er wrote svarim on Chumash, which was lost. Tons and tons of chedushei Torah that never made its way out. That's a loss, Zog the Panovich Rav. That was the loss, one of the elements of Nadav Aviyu. But one of the lessons that we need to take from, which is mamish now, both in Yemei Svira and in the Parsha, and what happened last week, is Aaron's response. What's Aaron's response to the tragedy? So the Pasuk tells us, Vayidim Aaron. Aaron was silent. Points out the Chafetz Chaim, what's the Lashon Vayidim? It should have said, Vayishtoik Aaron. Aaron was quiet. Says the Chafetz Chaim, many times in life we're quiet, but our body gives off a very different story. A person can be quiet, but you can read his face, and you see his actions, and he's a very sad, or he's relaying a different message. Zok the Torah, Vayidim Aaron, that was his body language, was a reflection of how he felt. He completely accepted the Ratzon Hashem, without questioning, without doubting it. I actually was listening to, they had this week, I think it was Tuesday night, so they had in TAG, for the alumnus of TAG, they had speakers come to talk to the girls. So I had a bunch of sisters who went to TAG, so I was listening to it. One of the speakers was the manal today of the school, and he pointed out something which I never thought about.
He said, I feel so bad for goyim. How do they deal with tragedy? They have no coping mechanism to deal with a tragedy like this. They just throw up their arms and say, okay, the world is not fair and God is evil and there's no way to cope. He said, Baruch Hashem, we as from Yidden, we have a way of coping with these. We have a way of saying that I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, he knows what he's doing, he's smarter than me and you, and I trust and I understand. We have at least an outlet. He said, those people, they have no outlet. How do they deal with such a tragedy? And it's mamish, we have that from Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen gave us the koyach to be able to accept something, as difficult as it may be, and be able to move on. But the Klausenberger Rebbe summed it up, and I said this vart many times from the Klausenberger Rebbe, I'll repeat it again, because I think it's definitely worth mentioning. The Klausenberger Rebbe suffered terribly during the Holocaust. He lost his entire family, his wife, 10 kids, 11 kids. And when he came out, he said the following line. What does it mean, Vayidim Aaron? Aaron was silent. Says the Klausenberger Rebbe, that Lashon Vayidim is used two other times. It's used at a bris and it's used Leil Pesach. When we say Bidamaich Chayi, with the blood we live, says the Klausenberger Rebbe, it's not the blood. It's Bidamaich, it's through being silent Chayi. It's taking Aaron HaKohen's lead and saying, when things happen, we don't understand it, we don't know why, who deserved it, it's not right, it's not fair. You know, you can't get more sad than seeing a couple, engaged couple, both being killed together. No one would even think of such a terrible thing to happen. So how do you survive? How do you go on? Zogt the Klausenberger Rebbe, and only he could say it because he lived it. Bidmai Chayi. The way we do it is the way Aaron HaKohen did in this week's parasha. Is you accept the Ratzon Hashem, and you don't try to understand the Ratzon Hashem, and you don't try to question the Ratzon Hashem, and you accept it. Vayidah. Through complete quiet and silent, that's how one can achieve. And that's the lesson, mamash, from this week's parasha of Vayidah Aaron, is accepting it. And Rashi says, what was his reward? His reward was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him directly. So many people ask, what's the Midah Keneged Midah? So I think the answer is partial. The Midah Keneged Midah is when a person can accept such a tragedy. The only way he can do that is by saying to himself, I am totally Dovuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest Meitav. He loves me. He only wants to give me good, and that's why I can accept it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's the way you feel to me, then I'll feel that way to you. Then I'll come talk to you. Then we can have a personal relationship. If you're going to feel that close to me, then I can feel that close to you. Therefore, it's taka mida connected mida. The fact that Aaron HaKohen, the only way Aaron HaKohen could possibly have accepted such a tragic event was because he was so borer, so convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest meitav in the world. Not easy. Definitely not easy to believe. But Aaron HaKohen was able to do it. And that's mamish, I think it's striking to me. How we in Klai Yisrael felt, again, people that many people didn't know them. I watched the Kavur in Eretz Yisrael for this chassid. You have to cry. If you don't cry, you don't have any emotions in your body. It's terrible. It's a horrible, horrible experience. And I talmidim of mine knew him. I had family members knew him, and the chassid and the kal. How do you pick the pieces up? How do you move on? How can you consciously accept such a outcome? The answer is because you don't. It's not about understanding it. It's taking the gevura that Aaron HaKohen put into the Bria for us as Am Yisrael and not trying to understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, try to question the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, try to come up with some conclusion. He also pointed out this, the principle of tag. And also, an interesting Ari pointed out, he said, none of the Hespedim for this couple did anyone talk about the driver. About the Meshugoyim Goyim, who were high and drunk and this and that, that did this. No one talked about them. He says, can you imagine if this would have happened in the non-Jewish world? That would be all over the news. It'll be all over the news. Do we have to now have a new ban on drunken drivers and we have to do this and do that? Why was that never brought up in any of the speeches? He says, because to us, we know that it's a shlich d'alma. That's whoever did it was a shlich from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, of course, you have to deal with it from a legal standpoint and you'll have to deal with it. But that's not the nekud over here. The nekud is HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something and we react to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't react to the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's also something which you never think about. And then an event like this, in the non-Jewish world, this would be an uproar. A young couple, people are not careful, and there would be all these new campaigns and protests and walkouts in the public school, all the great things that happen whenever there's a tragedy. That's not the way we work in Klai Yisrael, because that's not what we're answering to. We're not answering to the Shleich of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're answering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this. These people just sluch it down. They were just working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a very, very powerful, powerful midah of Ayid HaMarin. And again, it's not easy. You speak to people who suffered and have been through suffering, and they tell you that that's probably the most, not easy, but the most practical way is not to try to doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really, this week's parasha, in my opinion, is a parasha where we're taught to deal with tragedy.
I just want to end off at the end of the parash, a little bit of a, maybe a little less depressing note. At the end of the parash, we also find something very important about leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu is all upset at Aaron HaKohen's other two sons for not eating, for not partaking in the karbanis, because they thought that they should eat. There was a whole machlokes between him about eating. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu realized that Aaron HaKohen told him he was wrong. So Rav Pam points this out. It's really a gemara. Can you imagine Moshe Rabbeinu admitting that he was wrong? You know what that takes for Moshe Rabbeinu to admit that he was wrong? It says the Targum Yerushalayim in Israel, not only did he admit it, he went out and he said b'fnei am ve'eda that he was wrong. That's leadership. Leadership is when a great God like Moshe Rabbeinu can get up and say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. I gave a shir a few weeks ago in a shul. It was a big shir. And I said over a certain halacha that I think X and Y should be the halacha. And a Talmud of mine was there. And I said, I think this is the halacha. So he tells me, Masi Shabbos. He said, but I davened in a shul, didn't follow this. And you said it's the halacha. So I told him, I said, I made a mistake. I thought this was the halacha. I found later, Mr. Brewer says, not like that. So he was texting me. He writes me back something which mamash shocked me. He writes, it was the first time I ever had a Rebbe tell me that he made a mistake. I said, wow. I said, hang around me more often. You'll hear it all the time. That's what human beings have to do. We have to say we make mistakes. If we don't make mistakes, then we're not being honest with ourselves. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Moshe Rabbeinu in the world, knew everything. He had no problem getting up and saying, I made a mistake. So if we're living our lives based on the leadership of the Torah. So we're using Aaron HaKohen's Vayidim Aaron. We also have to use Moshe Rabbeinu who's godless of as parents. It happens all the time. We make mistakes as parents, but we don't want to admit it in front of our kids. So we just, you know, somehow cover it up. It's not right. Rav Palm writes this. He says, as parents, as professionals in the job, you have to be able to admit when you make a mistake. And you have to be able to be okay with it. So I think there's a lot of lessons in this week's parasha to deal with a lot of different emotions. To deal with, you know, when one makes a mistake, it's a very strong emotion. When one has to deal with tragedy, it's a very strong emotion. So I think if we follow the leadership of our great Zikanim, like the Medrash tells us, between Aaron and Moshe, we'll learn a lot about how to deal with many of life's ups and downs. And hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only send us Yeshua and Brachas. Okay.